Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to remember those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must henceforth be forever cast into the abyss of dead names. In this moment of our remembrance, we prove with great grief and wailing the sincerity of our noble tolerance. What we once wrongly allowed in the ignorance of white privilege has become the cleansing rite of virtue signaling we use to prove our purity. Join with me now as we remember those we've lost. First, the word bald. As this week, a three-judge panel in the United Kingdom ruled that a man whose boss called him bald and fat was guilty of sexual harassment due to the fact that baldness is a uniquely male and therefore a protected sexual characteristic. For too long, anti-male bigots have been referring to the follicularly challenged with this derogatory term in an effort to demean and oppress them just for being men. Now, before you start feeling queasy about me saying anything in defense of men, let me assure you, we all understand that men must never be viewed as equal in value to women, obviously. However, it is important that we only marginalize men for their most serious flaws and not merely for the superficial ones like having dad bods or becoming hairless in middle age, which, truth be told, is making them more feminine because it comes from having low testosterone. Thus, while we should be praising these men for becoming more like women, we are instead demeaning them for being alternately haired. And we wouldn't want to be distracted from all the really important ways that men are bad, which is why we must stop talking about their baldness. Of course, we all know that properly cleansing the language of forbidden bigotryisms like bald requires us to jettison bigotry-adjacent words that remind us of the offending term as well. Hence, we shall no longer refer to bald tires, but use the more neutral term, tread diminished tires. Bald eagles shall henceforth be called white-haired equal eagles. Bald-faced lies will just be called Jen Psaki-isms. And the game Balderdash will undergo a complete rebrand as simply the game people sell at garage sales. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, honors courses at high school for being incompatible with the principles of equity. Patrick Henry High School in San Diego recently notified parents that it was eliminating 11th grade honors courses in order to, quote, create more balanced, heterogeneously grouped classes and eliminate stigma, end quote. As the leaders correctly realized, it is very important that no student receive an education which is superior to that given to any other child, even if that means teaching all children at the pace of the slowest learner in the school, a system of educational justice we like to call no child allowed ahead. Keeping all children back to the same degree is the only fair way to give education, and just think of the benefits. Students who perform less well will no longer be stigmatized as slow or stupid and can have as much confidence in their lesser abilities as anyone else. Also, since upper achievers will be limited to the same pace of progress, they will no longer look down on the other students with the arrogant contempt of the high achiever. They will simply be the same, without judgment, and eventually without grades too. Just think of the camaraderie, or as we prefer to say it, the camaraderie, of so many equal people. Moreover, since we know that all differences in academic output come only from socioeconomic factors and systemic racism, forcing all students into the same learning paths will truly liberate them into the full equality which is their goddess-given right. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And finally, a word of encouragement for our noble allies in the revolution at the Thomson Reuters Corporation. Working on his own and without any official authorization, Zach Kriegman, a data scientist at Reuters, claimed he had unearthed information that contradicted the claims of the Black Lives Matter movement. Through his meticulous research, he discovered that white police are actually less prone to use lethal force against black suspects than against white ones. When he publicized this finding internally, Reuters, of course, immediately fired him for insubordination against the cause. You see, Reuters has consistently been an organization that honored the deep truth of the Black Lives Matter dogmas, and they recognized that this man's data was contrary to the ideological commitments Reuters has made to endorse the overthrowing of the racist police system in North America. Toward this end, of course, Reuters ignored facts and shaded information to fit the truth about cops, which everyone knows, even if not everyone can prove it. But this is exactly what a news organization is supposed to do. Tell the truth no matter what the facts say. And if the data shows otherwise, we all know that the data must be wrong because our hearts tell us the dogmas are correct. And if some data researcher claims he can prove the truth is inaccurate, it is the duty of a virtuous media organization to not only ignore his findings, but to expunge him from the flock for even daring to question the justice narrative embraced by the news network. News services, after all, exist to promote our agenda, not to be fair, even-handed, and fact-oriented. It's amazing just how misguided some people are about the role of news in our free society. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And finally, with these cleansing rites performed, may we all go forth in loving tolerance and microaggress no more. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.